The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from the 50th chapter of Isaiah. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Here ends the reading. Almighty God, we beseech thee, graciously to behold this thy family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was contented to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men and to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from the 52nd and 53rd chapters of Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. From the transgressions of my people he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Here ends the reading. According to the Passion of St. John, the 18th and 19th chapters. Praise be to thee, O Christ. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her, who kept the door, and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but 'He said I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Therefore the soldiers did these things. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Here ends the gospel.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Our sermon text is from Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is our text. Let us pray. O Lord, our Savior, we praise and bless thee that thou wast obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And having finished all, art become our mediator and redeemer. And we beseech thee, grant that by thy death we may be crucified unto the world, and henceforth live not unto ourselves, but unto thee, who didst die for us, and who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We are told with the opening words of the book of Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. End of quote. But then great calamity comes upon Job. He is afflicted in material property, his children perish, finally, his own loss of health. However, when Job's friends come to visit him, they have made the false judgment that Job must be guilty of sin. Eliphaz says, "Who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the upright ever cut off? So based upon your chastisement by God, you must have done terrible things. You are being punished because of your sins." Similarly, the prophet Isaiah tells us that God's people have made a false judgment concerning the chastisement that had come upon Jesus Christ. He was punished and afflicted by God. He was bruised and chastised. And they came to the conclusion he must have done something to deserve all this. Verse 2 and 3 says, "And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." To esteem someone is to highly regard or to admire them, to hold them up. God's people did not consider Jesus to be valuable. They were misled by his humble appearance. But more than that, they despised and rejected him because of his afflictions and his suffering and his death. The beginning of John's gospel, it could have said something like this, that Jesus was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil, like Job. It could have. It would have been true. However, it did something even greater than that. It taught us that Jesus had a virgin birth, so that he was born without the taint of sin. He was innately righteous and holy. He is God's Son, come in human flesh. And as the promised Messiah, he had done nothing wrong. However, there is some truth in the phrase from verse 4 that we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. You see, yes, that is true. But it is the false judgment is not that God was punishing him. No, that part was true. He was punished by God. However, their false judgment was that Jesus' afflictions were the result of his own sin, his own transgressions, blasphemy and such. That was not true. The prophet Isaiah tells us that they will see and consider what they had not been told, instead of Jesus being punished for his own sins. He bore the sins of others. Now that is not what they supposed when they saw that he was a man of sorrows. They had falsely measured the sin of the sufferer by the sufferings that he endured. The reality is that his sufferings were great, but those sins were placed upon him as a result of a substitution. Our Jesus took upon himself our sins that he might pay the debt of our sin. God, the Heavenly Father, he laid it upon him. And Jesus, in his great love for his Heavenly Father, for us, willingly took it up and bore it. Listen to that correct judgment. It was made five times in two verses as Isaiah spoke. He said, "Surely he has borne our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement for our peace was upon him." Our griefs, sorrows, transgressions, iniquities, and chastisements were laid upon him as the one mediator for one particular purpose. Isaiah expresses that purpose saying this, "And by his stripes we are healed." Verse 11 says, "By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." When we come to a right judgment, a right knowledge concerning his suffering and death, then we come to faith in our Savior, and we are justified. That is, we are declared righteous. Once we understand that the suffering and death that he endured for us is pleasing to the Lord, then we will esteem him. We will highly esteem him. As Isaiah says, we will hold him up and consider this Jesus to be more valuable than anything else. More than that, we know that the suffering service work on our behalf was pleasing to the Heavenly Father. You see, on the third day he rose from the dead. The Lord had earned eternal life. And Jesus ascended to the heaven and was given a throne at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And Isaiah says that he will divide the spoils with us. What had he gained? He will give to us forgiveness of sins, salvation, eternal life. Those are the spoils that he will hand out. Isaiah says, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." When you see your griefs, do not consider them yours. He took them up. When you see your sorrows, they are not yours. He has taken them away and carried them up. When you see your transgressions, they are not yours. He was wounded for those. When you regard your iniquities, they are not yours. He was bruised for those. And finally, if you think that you are being chastised because of your sin, it is not your chastisement. He took that up that he might give to us peace. Let us highly esteem our Jesus, the one who by his stripes we are healed. Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the bidding prayer. It is on page 276. We stand.
Let us pray for the whole church that our Lord God would defend her against all assaults and temptations of the adversary and keep her perpetually on the true foundation, Jesus Christ.
Almighty and everlasting God, since you have revealed your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ and in the word of his truth, keep, we ask you, in safety the works of your mercy, so that your church, spread throughout all nations, may be defended against the adversary and may serve you in true faith and persevere in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all the ministers of the word and for all the people of God.
Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the church is governed and sanctified, receive the supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all your servants in your holy church, that every member of the same may truly serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for our catechumens, that our Lord God would open their hearts at the door of his mercy, that having received the remission of all their sins by the washing of regeneration, they may be mindful of their baptism and throughout their lives remain faithful to Christ Jesus our Lord.
Almighty God and Father, because you always grant growth to your church, increase the faith and understanding of our catechumens, that recalling the new birth by the water of holy baptism, they may forever continue in the family of those whom you adopt as your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and holiness.
O merciful Father in heaven, because you hold in your hand all the might of man, and because you have ordained for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do well, all the powers that exist in all the nations of the world, we humbly pray you graciously to regard your servants, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor of this state, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that all who receive the sword as your ministers may bear it according to your word, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for our Lord God Almighty that he would deliver the world from disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, grant health to the sick, and a safe journey to all who travel.
Almighty and everlasting God, the consolation of the sorrowful and the strength of those who labor, may the prayers of those who in any tribulation or distress cry to you, graciously come before you, so that in all their necessities they may rejoice in your manifold help and comfort, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all who are outside the church, that our Lord God would be pleased to deliver them from their error, call them to faith in the true and living God, Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and gather them into his family, the church.
Almighty and everlasting God, because you seek not the death, but the life of all, hear our prayers for all who have no right knowledge of you. Free them from their error, and for the glory of your name, bring them into the fellowship of your holy church, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Almighty and everlasting God, through your only Son, our blessed Lord, you have commanded us to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who persecute us. We therefore earnestly implore you that by your gracious visitation, all our enemies may be led to true repentance, and may have the same love and be of one accord and of one mind and heart with us and with your whole church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for the fruits of the earth, that God would send down his blessings upon them and graciously dispose our hearts to enjoy.
O Lord, Father Almighty, by your word you created and you still continue to bless and uphold all things. We pray you so to reveal to us your word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he may dwell in our hearts and we may, by your grace, be made ready to receive your blessing on all the fruits of the earth and those things that pertain to our bodily need. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen. Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, let us worship him.
Behold the life-giving cross on which was hung the salvation of the whole world.
Oh, come, let us worship him.
Thank you.
Thus says the Lord, what have I done to you, O my people? And wherein have I offended you? Answer me. What more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? My people, is this how you thank your God? O my people,
drink ye all of it, and this do in remembrance of me. If you believe these words of Christ and do as he therein has commanded, then you have rightly examined yourselves and may worthily eat Christ's body and drink his blood for the remission of your sins. You should also unite in giving thanks to Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for so great a gift, and should love one another with a pure heart, and thus, with the whole Christian Church, have comfort and joy in Christ our Lord. To this end, may God the Father grant you his grace through the same, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Come and receive the body and blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul into everlasting life.
Thank you. Christ for you.
Body of Christ for you.
The blood of Christ for you.
Body of Christ for you.
Thanks be to God.